Let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. There's an announcement in your bulletin there about painting the facility. We need you to come and paint next Sunday or next Saturday from 8 until 4. If you come at 8, we'll give you a free breakfast. We'll give you a free lunch. And it'll save us about $100,000 if we paint it ourselves. So we'd like to knock out as much as we can and not have to hire professionals. And then if it looks like a mess, you'll say, hey, that's my artwork, you know, you blame yourselves. But it'll save a lot of bucks if we do it ourselves. So if you'll be here Saturday, we'll provide the paint and the brushes and the buckets, and the medical teams will be around to help you if you fall or inhale too much. But we're going to try to knock out all of the buildings if we can, if we get enough people. And then during the week, there's a professional painter and his company that are going to volunteer their services on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you want and can't make it on Saturday, at 8 o'clock, meet at the cafeteria, and they'll help you. If you could do it for an hour, you can get a lot of painting done in an hour. Or if you can stay all day, that'll be great. It'll be a fun time for us all to be here. And so you'll be able to work with the pastors. And it's the only way I can get them to work. I got to make them paint. So we'll all be here to work with you and help you. We'd really appreciate your help. Kids, aren't they the greatest? They're the greatest. I had the privilege of speaking in Colorado last week, so I stopped to see my grandkids on the way home. And I stayed at their house, and Molly came down and jumped on my bed yesterday, and she's 3.5 years old. So I was down in the basement. They have a bed down there, and I was sleeping down there. And the girls, Katie and Molly, had put on the two pillows a third pillow. And the third pillow had a pillowcase of Minnie Mouse with her head on the, like she is asleep on the pillow. So, you know, you try to relate to kids. So Molly's there, and I'm making the bed, and she says, oh, you're making your bed, Papa? And I said, yes, I am. And you need to, did you make yours? I said, no. I said, look, Minnie's asleep. We better be quiet. Let's tickle her. So I tickled the pillowcase here. And Minnie, hello, Minnie, this is Mickey. Wake up. Time to wake up. And she says, no, I can't, Mickey. It's Saturday and I'm sleeping in. You know, I'm trying to relate to a kid and talk to her. And Molly looks in and says, Papa, that's a pillow. Pillows don't talk. I said, okay. We left off last week with a talking bush without a pillow. But the children of Israel in chapter 3 are leaving the hand of Pharaoh. And God told them, verse 21-22, to go to all the people of Egypt and get their jewelry. And actually, he was paying them for over 400 years of back wages, which would have been, they would have been multi-billions into the trillions of dollars of assets when they left Egypt. And so now the call of God is on Moses. And here's where we pick it up in verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto you. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, now put your hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put your hand into your bosom again. And he put his hand in again and plucked it out, and behold, it was turned again as his flesh. And it shall come to pass, as they will not believe you, neither listen to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, as they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice, that you shall take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So he had a speech problem. And the Lord said unto him, who has made a man's mouth, or who makes the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Moses had some Bible people believe that he's saying that he has a speech impediment, that he stutters or he doesn't pronounce his words correctly, or he's slow of tongue, that he just, his mind and his tongue don't get going at the same speed, and he doesn't sound like anybody would listen to him. He uses the word, I'm not eloquent. And it's an interesting thing that when God calls us, you remember we looked at the bush, and he said, well, who shall I say has sent me? Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh or to the children of Israel? And the first response was self, always looking at self. Now God's speaking to him, and it's back to self again. I am not eloquent. If you want to use me, there's not too much here to use. And when God calls us, it's not who we are or what we have or what our weaknesses are. And it's definitely not what our strengths are. It's what God is going to do with us. So he gives an excuse. There's a whole series through the Bible of the call of God on so many people's lives. But there's also a series that follows right behind it of the response of man. The people that are used the most of God are the people that are willing to question God and talk to God and discuss the call on their life. And then God will use them when they come to a place to realize there's nothing I can do. It's not my talent. God gave me the talent. It's not my gift. God gave me the gift. It's not my ability or lack of ability. God's made the ability to come true. So his excuse is, I'm not eloquent, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now God answers Moses in a very special way. I can't see him over there. Okay, just want to make sure. You know I love you, don't you? It's important for us to see this because some of you maybe have struggled with this all of your life. This response here is a healing response of God. And I was able to see this response one night with the coroner's office and the sheriff's office as I was at a house where a baby had died of crib death. And the mother and father were so shocked and traumatized and weeping, and the sheriffs were outside and they said, this isn't too pretty, Mike, and we need your help here with the family. I said, glad to do it. And the coroner hadn't arrived yet, and he was about 5 minutes behind me, and I went in with the mother who was stroking the arm of the baby through the crib, and the coroner came in, and I saw that he was bringing a body bag in, and I knew that would just flip the mom and dad out, so I stopped him at the door and said, hey, could we talk a minute? I said, you know, this is going to be really rough for them to see that little body bag, and you take their baby and zip it up in it. Would you mind waiting till we can move them into another room and talk to them then when you see us do that? When we went into the kitchen and had left the bedroom, I saw that he went into the room and got the baby and carried the baby's body out. And the mother had asked, what was he doing? And I tried to explain it to her. And she said, could I just go hold my baby one time? So she went and held the baby one time. Then we went to the kitchen. Then he went in and took the body. So they sat down for about an hour in the living room with me and all the